This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
Sarah Hugh and Doc 2 on FUBAR Radio.
People, are you ready? Let's start the show. Let's start the show.
Thank you, Mr. DJ.
All right, that time of the week again. It's Sarah Hugh and Doc 2 right here on FUBAR. And what do you know? All three of us
in the same place together at the same time.
Sarah Love.
It's pretty remarkable, really.
Back in the house.
I know, 2 weeks feels like an eternity these days.
Really does.
A sign of being old, isn't it?
Yes, I guess. Well, you count the days a bit more because you're that little bit closer to death. So
yeah, it's like every day's counting at this stage.
You're making the most of every moment.
Yes, it's great to be back.
Where have you actually been? Doc and I have been just making up random shit about where you've been. But where actually have you been? How believable were these tales that you made up?
Well, people have written in and wished you luck on your sex tourism thing.
My trip to the moon.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, it was actually a great trip. You know, really eye-opener. Yeah.
But well, like, at least you escaped. That's the main thing. You got out.
I got out alive. I've actually been in Europe. I went to Austria and then I was in Bristol. Glamorous Bristol, which I'm looking forward to telling you about.
Getting more and more exotic each trip. It's going up a scale.
But looking forward to telling you about some of the sightings of Bristol party folk I spotted this week. Yeah,
nice.
You know how it goes in these student towns. They're up for the crack.
They really are.
No pun intended.
Yeah.
So there's no overlap with the sex tourism trip.
You know, some of the real big party spots, you know, like places like Berlin and stuff like that. Like a lot of people go from like after work on Friday in London, fly over to Berlin, get wild for 3 days. Uh-huh. So the flight back from Berlin to London on a Sunday night is just people covered in glitter and shit and
catching
chewing
up
their
sleep.
Face off and just all sorts of wild, horrible things.
I'm telling you, Berlin ain't got nothing on Bristol and Newcastle and Cardiff and Leeds party goers from my experience.
So
anyway.
What were you doing though? Were you DJing? Are you doing your medical journalism?
I was DJing in...
She's doing medical DJing.
Medical
I'm fusing the two areas. Yes,
very precise cuts,
bring some joy to the world that way. I was DJing in Bristol and in Austria. I was at a medical meeting. The St. Gallen Cancer Conference.
Wow. Did you ever turn, like, you ever DJ really late and turn up to them wrecked in the morning? Are you the snorer?
Well, that would be utterly unprofessional of me to admit that on air.
That's stop moonlighting, isn't it?
Because
when I was still rapping, I was also, like, running a charity for kids, and I used to be a youth worker and whatnot. Yeah. So I was very much a role model during the day, and, like, I brought a lot of that into my raps as well as a real conscious rapper. And then when I got into, like, showbiz proper, I was just like, you know, fuck all that. Man, fuck the kids.
They can fend for themselves.
What if we learn from Rolf Harris? It's one thing. Don't fuck the kids, all right? Don't fuck the kids. Yeah, that's true, actually, because I've had some pretty naughty songs that I've written in my time. And then when I became a Make-A-Wish ambassador last year, a lot of people were scratching their heads going,
maybe not.
Hey, pretty excited. We've got one of your friends and colleagues, Jason Mazza. He's going to be coming. He's an actor. He's in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, we're branching out now. This is what's happened since you've been away, Sarah. We decided, we're just going to get superstars on the show every week. Because we started as we meant to go on with Pharaoh Munch in episode one.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've just never really dropped below that level. You know, as you don't count Hugh, obviously. Like, we've never really dropped below status on every single show.
We just make the exception.
Fuck you both. Can I get some water?
We've got the up-and-coming, real hot British talent, Jason Mazza, who... I was lucky enough to work with briefly last year, and he's got a bunch of upcoming projects that he's going to talk about. He's also going to play us some songs.
So he's
coming in at about 4:30. Big rap fan. So I think that's how we're going to do it. We're going to get in some, you know, some celebs and whatnot, but we're not just going to get like whoever, you know, like I don't know, Davina McCall or something, and she doesn't know, you know, rap from metal. We're going to get in.
She's like, yeah, I love rap. I love feta cheese. I love lettuce and rap. I love halloumi. I love halloumi rap. wraps, they're my favorite.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that's the new theme for us.
Love it.
Yeah.
I think it's a good idea. That's coming up at around 4:30. Team, it's very, very good to have everyone.
It is incredible. And it's obviously not going to last because you're gone next week.
I'm away next week for a little while.
I'm ducking out before the show even ends.
Well, hey, look, this is actually something that I did need to bring up.
It's an issue.
This is something I did need to bring up because obviously all three of us are here now, which the show is called Sarah, Hugh and Doc 2. Next week I'm away. I'm in Melbourne for about 3 or 4 weeks or something. So Sarah, because obviously Sarah has a lot, she's not just a DJ, she's had a lot of radio experience as well. So, I mean, as it is now, I'm the one that pushes all the buttons in the studio and drives all the things. So Sarah is going to do that when I'm away because you've said firsthand, Doc.
I said from the very start,
don't ever let me go near it.
Don't let me touch anything on that side of the desk.
That was the reason he became a rapper and not a DJ.
Don't touch any buttons.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, what happens while I'm away? What happens if Sarah's away? Dun, dun, dun. What happens then, Doc?
In that situation, I mean, we had a situation last week, didn't we, where some things were happening in my life and I got here at like 4:02 and the show had essentially started.
You went and got a Coke. You're I would have been here on time, but I wanted a rap and a Coke. That's hashtag rap about anything again. Doc eating raps and turning up late.
Yeah, raps and Cokes and all of that stuff, the legal version. And basically, yeah, so I walked in at 4:02 and it was like Hugh and... You know what I mean? We had nothing practically.
You were beat out.
It was horrible, man. I was here by myself. It reminded me of my 16th birthday party. That was horrible.
But it turned into what a show it turned into.
Poor, it was a beast.
I mean, we started with one person, we ended with 4 people in the studio.
Goodness.
You know,
I haven't even
ended
had a chance
it was St. Patrick's Day, ended in like a blind massive Guinness and celebration.
Yeah.
We had Michael Payne, we had Genesis Elijah.
Yeah.
There was bars being flung back and forth.
Did they both
impressions?
Rap? Did they both do
rapping? Actually, they played a couple of their tunes. I did some rapping, obviously. Michael Payne did an incredible Al Pacino impression.
He did.
They're going to do a remake of Scarface.
Really?
What kind of joke thing is that?
There was going to be one ages ago when Pun was still alive that he was putting money into called Son of Tony, which was going to have Cuban Link playing the son of Scarface.
But not actually a remake.
A kind of reboot. And this is a horrible thing to say, but I'm so glad that Pun died before that was a possibility. I love Pun, it's nothing to do with me being happy that he died. But just thank Christ his money had to go into his family and his estate rather than the Cuban Link sequel to Scarface.
I still think that probably would be better than trying to remake something which is classic and it ain't broke.
I mean,
what the hell are they thinking? Yeah. How are you going to improve? Scarface, what's the point of doing it if you're not going to improve on it?
Scarface is worth watching the game because it is quite a flabby movie. It's about 3 hours long. And what you forget from when you had the full of testosterone, you're young and you're like gangster and you heard all the samples and all the rap tunes and all that, is that Scarface, just as a movie, is actually quite a flabby piece of work. And if you look at a lot of Brian De Palma stuff, a lot of it is like that. It's a bit overindulgent, a bit too much.
I adore the soundtrack, it's brilliant. And you know that bit, that sound effect that it does every time someone talks to his sister I need that in my pocket sometimes.
You know the funniest bit of Scarface is the scene where he meets Michelle Pfeiffer for the first time and they talk whilst doing disco dancing.
I love it. It's hilarious. The costumes, the sets, the soundtrack.
It's
so
one-off, isn't it? I mean, even if it was a terrible movie, I wouldn't advise remaking it because, like you say, it's a moment in time, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
Scarface.
It's just foolishness.
It could have only existed in that year. It was like 83 or something.
Yeah.
And when I think that obviously a group of people got together and all agreed, like, yeah, this is a good idea. Let's roll with this. Let's build on this. It's like, how did no one shut that down?
They remade The Italian Job. They remade Get Carter. Mm. Do you know what I mean? How do you remake The Italian Job without
about,
the minis and
yeah.
Get Carter?
New ideas.
Insane. They don't do that in Hollywood anymore.
There must be people with fresh ideas out there.
They don't do that. They just make films out of books, don't they? And if they don't make them out of books, then they make sequels. And if they don't make sequels, they make reboots. That's Hollywood right now.
That's why J.K. Rowling's...
Well, just quickly, going back to what I was saying before. Mm. So if I'm away and Sarah's away and you're here by yourself...
Mm. That's not going to happen.
Well, look, all I want to do... Can you just come around...
I would cower in a corner.
Can you just come around here for one second?
In a fetus position.
Come around the other side of the desk for 1 second. Just come around the other side. Come on, Doc.
Really?
Come on, just one second. Come around here.
The terror. I see you. Sarah.
No, here we go.
Doc's sweating so bullets right now.
We sit on opposite sides. So I sit in front of all the screens and the buttons. So here we go, Doc. Here we go. It's just in case, you're here by yourself, see the keyboard here.
Yeah.
You've got to push one of those buttons, right? And all you got to say is, you're on FUBAR, Sarah, Hugh, and Doc 2 coming up next. No, they didn't. And then hit a button. Go for it whenever you're ready.
Okay. You're live in tune to Sarah, Hugh, and who's the other one? Doc 2. Stay tuned for no, they didn't. I'm going to play Y for yes.
No, just do
Y. One of these.
Yes.
Okay. Play.
Something happened.
Oh, wow. You did it, buddy. Oh, you did it.
You're in.
De La Soul, The Grind Date, as panelled by Doc Brown. Good man, yeah, pushing the buttons.
I still got it wrong, even with all that guidance. I pressed Y for yes, because I just thought when you said any key, you meant genuinely any key. But
you're right, you did good, mate. You're on FUBAR, well, Sarah, Hugh, and Doc 2. Got the whole team back together today, which is good. Time now for No They Didn't.
Oh,
no, they didn't. This is where some celebrity story or something has happened. It's gone wild. We want to pick it apart, and then we want to hear from you, Doc Brown.
Yeah.
What's going on this week?
Well, this week I was fascinated. I mean, I've been following this story for a while, since obviously I first heard it. It's a Glastonbury-related story. It's a rap-related story. It's a Kanye-related story. I mean, we all remember.
Every time he comes up, Sarah's like, shit again.
we all remember what the furore when Jay-Z got booked to play Glastonbury and the beef with him and Noel Gallagher, and he played it really well, I think, and you know, came in with the guitar, did a version of Wonderwall, and it was all very funny. I think he took it in really good humor, Jigger, and I also think that the Glastonbury crowd kind of like they appreciated his effort. This time, I'm really taken aback, I have to say, because the No They Didn't really is, for the first time in a Kanye-related No They Didn't, it's not actually directed directly at Kanye.
It's exactly.
It's directed,
it's
directed at 120,000 people.
It's up to that many people
120,440 at time of press, right, who have petitioned. They've done a change.org. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I go on change.org, you know, to support,
yeah,
like, serious causes and stuff. They've created a change petition to stop Kanye from playing Glastonbury, where Michael Eavis has already booked him, his daughter's booked him, it's all good, they're celebrating, as they should. Now, I feel like they've reacted as if they booked DMX. Do you know what I mean?
Like, that would have been dope. What are you saying about
that?
I would have
been
some
dope.
Rough riders riding through Glastonbury.
But you know what I'm saying? DMX is literally, he's a rapper and a DJ. Do you know what I'm saying? Like Kanye, I would say, is crossover enough to play Glastonbury.
He's a pop star.
Yeah,
isn't he? He's a bona fide pop star.
But also,
now,
you know, he's done stuff with orchestras, he's done stuff with rock bands, he's got like that album 808s, which is like pretty out there. Do you know what I'm saying?
And you can't blame Glastonbury or organizers for wanting to get a high profile person.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what keeps the festival ticking over. And apparently, the people who started the petition
haven't even been.
This is the thing that kills me. Let's just name and shame this prick. And yes, I'm calling you a prick. We can have
a little Twitter beef on the phone.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
This guy's name is Neil, first off.
Neil.
Yeah.
We're directing this at you.
Yeah.
Neil.
Don't know what he's thinking there. And Neil Lonsdale, okay, this is what he said. He said, no, Glastonbury's all about upbeat major artists. It's an institution, Glastonbury, and we expect the biggest names, the biggest performers. Kanye does not represent that, which is a nonsense, because he's one of the biggest names in music. He goes, I fought the temptation to scream as a Glastonbury fan and instead opted to hurl my iPhone across the room. 2 years ago, we had the Rolling Stones playing the Saturday night, and this year, we have got Kanye West. It's an outrage. He's never been to Glastonbury.
Never been.
Who's he fighting for?
Keyboard Warriors official.
You need a girlfriend, Neil.
I was listening to rap 25 years ago, I'm still listening to rap now. I was at Glastonbury in 94. Where were you? I was watching Rage Against the Machine at Glastonbury in 94, bro.
I think I was there in 94
Where were you?
As well.
Where were you?
Oh, we didn't even know
bro,
each other.
I go there and I watch indie bands and rock bands and I enjoy them.
You
know why? Because I'm
open-minded.
Oh,
that's cute.
I'm open-minded music fan.
But you get all kinds of music
idiotic.
At Glastonbury.
What do you think? Do you think the whole thing with, like, obviously Kanye,
you
like, you know,
done.
Being attached to the Kardashians and all these things, it's just people and putting him in that category now of, like, you know, you're just a headline whore who's just trying to get, you know, in this
it's
very, very mainstream kind of realm that he's now, you know, obviously putting himself in more and more and more. Do you think that's what it is? And people are looking at him less as an artist and more as, I just say, somebody that's always in the headlines.
Listen, like, I will take the piss out of Kanye till the cows come home, because he just makes me laugh because he takes himself so serious. So it makes him an easy mark. But ultimately, everything I do, everything I say about him is
comes from Kanye.
Take it with a pinch of salt, because the dude is amazing what he's brought to the game. Like, he saved rap at a time when nobody was making any interesting music at all. Mm. I don't have a short memory when it comes to stuff like that. He might be arrogant and he might be a little crazy, whatever you want to say about him, overly serious. But the fact of the matter is, he's created so many incredible songs that have transcended rap and hip-hop and gone into the world of pop, into the world of alternative music, and he's done it really, really flipping well.
You know what, though? I wouldn't even be surprised if Neil, quote-unquote, is just like a fabricated personality who probably the Glastonbury organisers invented. Because they're like, okay, how do we make people talk about Glastonbury?
Yeah.
Obviously, like, Kanye is a massive star where everyone wants to guess about
him
anyway.
Do you know what, Sarah, because we do so often say this, such a nice person. Such a lovely person. You darling. What I would
they
like
don't
to
call
know.
Call me love for nothing.
What I would like to know is, who would you petition to get away from you?
That's a good point.
Who to get away from me?
Yeah, who would you just want to get right away from you?
Sign up to change.org.
who would you start to change.org for?
Someone away from you.
For me, all sellout artists. Well, I wouldn't even call them they call themselves artists. To me, I just call them acts. Mm. You're just a coat hanger, as far as I'm concerned. Like, all those people, I don't really feel that they're really contributing to the greater good of humanity and propelling us further forward, like people like James Brown or Marvin Gaye, who actually, you know, represented their communities and they had some kind of political passion. When you look at something, the other day I saw the Soul Power documentary, which is all about the concert that happened in Kinshasa before the Rumble in the Jungle Muhammad Ali fight. And it was just incredible to see the caliber of artists and how they had political agendas that they were interested in. It wasn't just about getting an endorsement with this person and hooking up with that person, because that would be great promo and all this. I just think, you know, if you want to call yourself an artist, you got to be about art primarily. As soon as you're like going down that sellout route, you need to just not even try and associate your name with the word art.
Fuck, she's so smart.
And I would and that's why I love Bill Hicks as well, because he's just like, I mean, the way he describes it is, if you're an act who is endorsing any corporate product, you are sucking the devil's cock.
That's a nice way to round it off.
She's so smart. She's got a whole story. She's got a whole political movement power. This is incredible. I was going to say, do you know who I really want to petition to get out of my life?
Go on.
The fucking local guy that runs my off license.
Oh yeah.
Right. He is a prick, and he's every time I go in there, tries to rip me off, or does something, gives me the wrong change, or just treats me like shit. And there's nothing I can do, because he's the only one that's open when I need to go past there at night.
So he knows.
If I need something,
he knows he can.
He's got the power.
He's got the smug look on his face. He's like, here
every
he
time.
Comes.
And every time I walk in, I'm like, hi, mate, how are you having a good day? And he goes, I'm like, dude, sorry to be a pain. You have shortchanged me again. He's like, such a bastard.
Aw, but
so
you don't know,
you must have respected
time.
Sarah, you must have respected the MCA, you know, the dude from the Beastie Boys who died recently.
I loved
recently.
That.
Before he died, he said, I don't want any of my music used in an advert or anything.
Yeah.
And then some drinks company tried to use it on a series of adverts, and they sued him for like millions, and they won.
That just endeared me to Beastie Boys even more. And they're like in the top 10, like most highest net worth, like hip-hop acts of all time.
Incredible.
They were something like $80 million something crazy like that, which obviously is like chump change to some people, isn't it? But I mean, that's what annoys me about these acts too. It's like, when you're on the caliber of being Katy Perry or Beyonce or whatever, it's like, how much money do you need? And really, who are you representing? Are you representing the people and the struggle, or are you representing Coca-Cola? I don't even want to say their name.
I think they're representing the record labels that are there primarily, only purely to make money, and they're trying to find the way that they can market it to certain people. And they know that a lot of people that are going to be buying a single, something like that off iTunes, is going to be a 12, 13, 14 year old kid that's at home with nothing, just trolling the internet trying to find all this
stuff. Which makes it even more disgraceful.
And they just have these artists, bang, bang, bang. You know, you think there's not really going to be a lot of people that are home going, I am such a passionate musician. What do I want to share with the world? It's a shitty pop song.
But you're in the wrong game, you know, and that's why the focus needs to be brought back to what is art? What does it mean to be an artist? Because when James Brown said, I am, say after me, somebody kind of thing, I'm black and I'm proud, like that had a real reverberation through the community that meant something, because it still means something today. It's still relevant, you know, so it's like, if you're
listen to
about...
the intro to Kendrick's album.
Yeah, and that's why I'm proud of him too, because he's kind of like not holding back with saying things that might not necessarily be popular in the corporate
commercial world.
But, you know, that's what it means to be an artist. An artist has more power than any politician, you know, because an artist is a soundtrack through your whole life. They're with you when you're in the shower, with you when you're in the car, they're with you, you know, at the most important points in life.
No one can remember a John Major speech.
So I just think it really, you know, artists, if you want to call yourself an artist, you've got to take responsibility for the messages that you're sending. So if you're Katy Perry going out there saying, oh my God, why am I waking up with a headache? And who's this person in my bed? That's not appropriate when your fans are 8-year-old girls, you know, and I don't think that's cool at all. So if you want to be a corporate tramp, then, you know, you need to move out of the world to try and call yourself an artist, as far as I'm concerned.
Wow. And if you want to sign Sarah's petition to get rid of Katy Perry's
dog.
We haven't even asked for you guys to get in touch yet. We've already got a stack of feedback.
Please let us know.
You can email through.
Sorry, everyone. I know I'm a bit
out
there.
The email is tuesdaydrive@fubarradio.com. Let us know, who would you petition to get out of your life and why? Or you can hit us up on the Twitter at Fubar Radio and the Facebook as well, Fubar Radio. And up next, Doc Brown, we want to find out from you, who would you want to petition to get out of your life?
It's very simple.
And why? hold that thought. We will find out up next. Get in touch. We'd love to hear from you on the phones as well. I'll open up the phone lines right now. It's 0330 223 0200. And question we're asking is, who would you petition to get out of your life, get away from you, and why? And we'll take all your feedback up next on FUBAR, Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. It's their new Kendrick Lamar, You Ain't Gotta Lie. You're on FUBAR, Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. And we're having a bit of a chuckle because we're talking about Kanye West. He's been signed now to be one of the headlines at Glasto this year. There's been a petition for 120,000 people have signed it to stop him from headlining at Glastonbury this year. Jeez. So what we're asking is, who would you like to petition to get out of your life and why? Doc Brown, you're up next.
You heard my rant.
I would go. It's just a man called Daryl who walks around the roundabout at the end of my road.
I've had enough, Daryl. I've had enough.
Because he always asks for chips. He was always asking for chips. I just want to get some chips. So
specifically chips every time.
Yeah, just chips. Maybe enough to get some chips. Some chips.
Obsessive compulsive chip.
Doc, get him some bloody chips.
My wife said, "All right, I'll get you some chips." Right, and on the roundabout, there's a place called Paradise on the corner. So she's like, oh, "Get some chips from here," and they give you a big portion as well. You know, this is good for a homeless person.
That's great.
Afford.
Yeah, yeah.
And he goes. he goes. not that chippy. Not that one.
Oh, he's
not
particular. He's particular.
What is he? No, not that chippy.
I meant heroin. Chips is kind
the other
of
kind of chips.
All right, we go to Jimmy's, which is at the other end of the road. And he goes. No, just give me the money. No, so why every day you're asking for chips, you're just trying to bullshit people.
That's
man
terrible.
Just ask for the money to buy your super tenants or whatever it is. You turn down a gift from my family. You come to me on my daughter's wedding day.
Cue the Scarface look at sister sound.
What the hell?
This is great. So basically Sarah wants to petition to get any fake artists that are selling out.
I'll sign on to that.
I want a petition to get rid of the guy that runs my local office.
I'll sign on to that too.
And Doc wants a petition to get rid of a homeless guy.
You say that like I want to kill him. I just want to move him on. Move him on to the next block.
We ask you guys
let them deal with it.
We ask you guys to get in touch. You can email Tuesday Thursday drive at FUBAR Radio, or hit us up at the FUBAR Radio Twitter or Facebook. We've got Stevie from Fulham said he would petition. I'd like to petition to go against all the cold callers that call me every day.
That's such a good shout.
You know
bro.
What, though?
Screw those guys.
You know what, though? It's great just to have a bit of fun with them.
Oh, yeah. So, sometimes. It depends what mood you're in. Yeah. But if you jumped out of the shower to get the phone in, I'm like, you die.
Well, because unless you swear or abuse them, they can't hang up as well.
Throwing them so far off the track and seeing how good they are at bringing it back to what they're.
Yeah, that is amazing. That is fun. That is a lot of fun.
You've got to turn it into a positive experience.
When I've been really bored, I've done that with the computer ones, you know, the computer generated one. They're not even real. It's just a robot. Like on the NatWest site, and it's like the woman's like, I'm here to help. What can I do to help? Like, you suck, man. You know, I just go crazy. I go crazy on that. That's not a very nice thing to say. I can't help it.
You're a robot. Come on, babe.
It's completely unnecessary. But you do get that, don't you? Like a little
bit
of impatience around the house.
It's liberty. Because if someone was like badgering you like that in person, you'd call the police.
Of course you would.
But they're just taking advantage of the fact they're like in some distant land and they can't be tracked down.
I hate the assumptions. Like, how do you know I've had an accident in the last 12 months? How can you possibly know that?
She's a robot. They know these things. They've got a good memory.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about the human ones.
Oh, the human ones too.
There's the human ones, the PPI and the accident
ones. PPI cracks me up every
time. PPI, I never had PPI. I don't even know what PPI stands for.
It sounds like an STI.
Yeah. And then there's the...
purple penis infection.
I want to talk to you about the accident that you had 6 months ago. Like, what the hell are you talking about?
We got another email through from Zoe in Chichester. Did I say that right?
You didn't say that right, but I like how you said it.
How do you say it? Can you pronounce it?
Chichester.
I like it. Sounds much better. Zoe says,
as the Jamaicans call it, Chichester.
Chichester. Yeah. I like that. Zoe says she can't bloody stand the bouncer at my local pub.
Oh,
it's in a quiet area, and he always makes us go inside at 9 p.m. for no reason. He says it's something to do with the law, but he could just chill out a bit.
I like how it's something to do with the law.
Something to do with the law.
As much detail
I don't know.
That law. I want to see that law.
Yeah. Next time you see him, maybe.
Smoke outside, demand. You got a drink inside, you can't do both at the same time.
Yeah.
The whole point of smoking and drinking is that they go together.
Yeah, exactly.
So complicated. Life's tough, man.
We got another email in, tuesdaydrive@foobarradio.com. Kay from Camden. I would petition against this annoying guy at work that always gives me his life story while we're on our lunch break.
He's
hitting
on
you, babe. He's just hitting on you.
That's
for
exactly
sure.
That's exactly what he's doing. Yeah. Giving them a little
bit tired
the
today.
Problem is you give someone a rope, they want to be a cowboy. Do you know what I mean? Like,
bit tired
your
today.
Your lunch break is
sacred.
It really is.
You know, check his headphones as well. Just put on headphones and sometimes talk to you, you go, huh?
Get your body language straight before he comes outside. Yeah.
He's definitely hidden over. He's trying to tell him the whole life story. But I used to work with a guy that was like that too. This is like years and years ago when I did landscape gardening. He'd be like, oh, have a big stretch and go, yeah, such a busy day. Pay some bills. What am I going to do for dinner?
Life commentary.
Going to call my parents. And I'm just like, fucking shut up.
Some people
you're
can't
stealing
have
minutes.
Silence,
I'm never going to get back.
Some people can't. I mean, obviously, we can't have silence because we're, you know, we're professional in the studio.
We could try.
It's the enemy of radio. But, you know, in life, there's nothing wrong with just having a moment with another person where you're just not saying anything.
Yeah.
You know, especially in a work scenario.
So what we're asking is, because of Kanye, if you've just tuned in, obviously Kanye West booked a headline, Glasto, 120,000 people have signed a petition.
That's like within
people.
Just a couple of days.
So we're getting your feedback
incredible.
As well on who you would like to petition to get out of your life. We've got Jeff from Kilburn on the line. G'day, Jeff.
Hi, guys.
Hey. How's Kilburn doing?
It's good. And so is Cricklewood.
Are you originally from Kilburn, Jeff? Are you born and raised in Kilburn?
Yeah, well, Kilburn and Cricklewood.
Incredible. Right. You're a dying breed.
Same as me.
You are a dying breed.
I'm a dying breed, yeah.
All right,
Jeff. Not a lot of us there.
Jeff from Kilburn and Cricklewood. Who would you like to petition to get rid of in your life, mate, and why?
Okay, there's the mad guy with the shopping trolley that delivers the local newspapers.
Hey man, Jeff, he's got to pay his bills somehow.
It sounds to me like you might have a few here, mate. Have you got a few?
I know he's got the
He's basically a tramp, but he's got some sort of job that pays him a bit of cash, and you don't want him too near, you know what I mean?
Why? Why don't you,
Nat,
why
can
don't
we get Jeff a job here?
He's unkempt. He's unhygienic.
Is he touching your door, Jeff?
Oh, Jeff. Hey, Jeff.
Jeff's run out of patience completely.
Jeff,
man.
You there, mate?
Yeah.
He's not one of those people that because of life circumstances out of his control, he couldn't get a job and now has to live on the streets because he has nowhere else to live and no support from anyone in his life, is he? Oh, yeah, they're the worst.
He is one of those.
They're just the worst.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, not them! Hey,
cut Jeff some slack. I've already petitioned against a homeless person. Maybe it's a Kilburn Cricklewood thing. You know?
Sorry, did you have another person that you want to get?
Yeah, sorry, let's go back to the list.
Matt Allwright.
Who's number two in the lift?
Matt Allwright from Watchdog.
Oh, yeah, he's a brick.
I'm not sure I know who that is, but I'll just go along with you on that one anyway.
I used to sell these chairs back in the 90s. They were very good chairs, actually, for old people.
I don't doubt that at all.
Okay.
And, yeah.
Like orthopedic kind of chairs.
I say they're very good chairs.
Yeah.
You know, it's let the judge decide, but there isn't going to be a court case. That's all right, but I wouldn't want him near me.
Yes.
Because that would just be bad news.
Yep. You don't want any fights breaking out.
Yeah.
Hugh Edwards, the news guy.
Hey, Jeff, which one is he?
I don't like the look of him. He's aggressive. He's angry.
Yeah.
I'm with Jeff
on every single comment so far.
We've only got an hour and a half, Jeff. How many do you actually have on the list?
Let him finish the list.
He's been right on everyone.
Rolf Harris, yeah.
Okay, and next.
4 out of 4 for me. Dirty hands. He's got dirty hands.
Who?
I saw him once at a motor show. He's got dirty hands and fingernails.
Is this someone
Chris
you?
Oh, Chris Tarrant.
We can do without him.
I agree. The lady said political musicians, Bonio, Spice Girl, don't like them. All political people. Yeah.
Preach!
Just sing a song for me. Sing me a song. Don't give me your politics. Or become a politician or sing me a song.
Yeah. What's your favourite Spice Girl song, Jeff?
Spice up your life?
Mama, I love you.
Oh, that's deep.
Hey, can I ask as well, we're obviously talking about people you want to petition to get out of your life. Is there anyone you would actually like to keep in your life?
I'd like to get James Brown into my life. All the time.
You know what, I would say he is a possible contender for the greatest musician of all time.
Because he'd just be beside you doing his soul and that, wouldn't he?
And the splits.
Brighten up your day.
And the
splits.
Brighten up
your day.
Yeah.
Hey, but thank you so much. We're out of time now, Jeff. And thank you so much.
You killed it. You repped hard.
You've been amazing, buddy.
And Cricklewood.
Woo! Yeah.
Yay, Jeffrey!
Yeah.
Wow. Ish just got real. No doubt about that.
Very real.
Hey, we had a couple more emails come through then as well. We had Clinton Stockwell said, he says, so Public Enemy headlined a stage at Glastonbury last year. They killed it. Professor Green, an example, played there. No one kicked off. Why all the hate for Kanye? He'll run that place.
He will.
Clint.
He'll put on a great show.
Yeah. So, and we had one more come through from Stan in Worcester.
Oh, how did I go? That was good.
That was good. Huey.
Is it Worcester?
No, even you don't know. Shit, I'm killing it.
Worcester?
Worcester.
English is a messed up language,
sure,
man. So it's all right.
Anyway, Stan from someplace, anyway, says, went to Glastonbury and saw Robbie Williams and the Sugar Babes, and everyone enjoyed them. I also saw Rolf Harris, which no one seemed to mind. They probably regret that booking now, though. They cancel the petting zoo the next year.
Within 2 minutes.
I know, this is not good. Do you know what is good? Jason Mazza.
Is he here?
He is here. I just saw him. He's standing outside. Very talented actor. Also, a good mate of Doc Brown's. Have worked together and done a lot of stuff. He's going to be joining us in the studio up next. And you're on FUBAR, Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. He's Mike Kilpayne killing it. And he joined us last week on the show.
Oh, yeah.
You're killing it. Mike Kilpayne, you're on FUBAR, Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. And we are joined in the studio now by a very, very special guest, Jason Mazza.
Hello.
Now, Jason, we've just been having a look at your bio and some of your... you've been in a lot of films, friend. A lot of TV. He's just going to reel off a couple. The Hooligan Factory, 2014. Still Waters. Welcome to the Punch. Get Lucky. The Man Inside. That's just a few. TV shows. The Crimson Field. Silk. Come Fly With Me. Whitechapel. The Bill.
Haven't dropped my favourite.
I was in the Bill in the 80s, all right? Just fall back on that one.
Oh, wow.
Really? I'm original.
She was Crack Baby 3.
Yeah.
No, I was Concerned Child upon the Streets.
Did you do Concerned well?
I did. I was excellent.
Yeah, I can see that's your concerned face right there.
Try doing now. Try reenact it now, Sarah. Go on.
I just had to
go. Can you give us the line?
Mommy!
Wow, that's more than, that's less that. Concerned and more Trudy screaming Goodwin. For life.
Yes.
Jason Mazza, welcome to the show, mate.
Thanks, yeah, man. It's exciting to be here.
No, it looks amazing. Like the list of work that you've done already. How do you start to get build a CV like that? Like, how do you get a foot into acting to lead to such an amazing array of work?
You're being very sweet. Thank you. I started when I was quite young. Basically, parents found me hard work and a nightmare. I was known as stress and tension. So they had to take that energy and put it somewhere. And they put me into a Saturday school from like the age of 10, basically, and sort of did that, loved it at a Saturday. And they had an agency. And then it was sort of a natural progression. The agency started putting you up for castings. And from basically 16, I sort of started to chip away.
Was that Saturday school, was that the same school where you were in the class with, what's his face? My man from the Inbetweeners.
Yes. So it was James. Really cool. So yeah, it was a place called Collins in Essex. And it was like a whole hub of crazy little kids. But James Buckley, who plays Jay in The Inbetweeners, was there. We had Rochelle and Frankie from The Saturdays. Jesse J was there as well. That's so crazy. It was a real, real great mix of kids. And loads of them have gone on to be sort of superstars.
Did you like a child star? Have you like Macaulay Culkin and divorced your parents or anything like that?
No, that would be really cool, though.
We just haven't got that kind of money in British TV and film yet.
No chance of could I do that, though.
100 quid a week, I'm getting paid later. You're getting divorced.
I got to say, my favourite role that I ever seen you in was in a low budget film called Shifty with Riz Ahmed and Danny Mays.
Yeah,
which is a wicked film for anyone who hasn't seen it, listeners and you two included. It's a brilliant little thriller, very underrated. But
yeah, that was a blessing, that one.
Jason pops up. I had no idea he was in it. I was watching it. He pops up about halfway through playing this kid called Malik, and he is wired. Like, he just jumps in a van and he starts talking like he's on speed, like a mile a minute for like 3 minutes. It's a hilarious performance. Really, really funny, edgy and strange. And just another reason to watch his work, really. So what's going on in a minute? What are you working on right now?
Well, you know, we're both sort of involved in Paul Whitehouse's Nurse.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that is true.
Which is on at the moment. So that was sweet. I mean, I've always been a big fan of Paul Whitehouse.
He's just like kind of an honour, really, to be in something with him.
Yeah, and basically he plays 85% of the characters, so there's only a couple of us that come in and do. So it was a bit of when I got the phone call, that was a bit of an honour and stuff, and sort of, just watching him. He's basically brilliant and he's a genius, and watching him at the read-through just literally go from character to character, it's a bit embarrassing, really. He's sort of like, I've got a lot of work to do. But yeah, so that was fantastic. So that's on at the minute. Yeah, so that's cool.
Yeah, Nurse on BBC Two.
So
yeah.
What days is it on? Is that the one that you guys were on together?
We weren't in the same scene, and like they were very standalone scenes, and like Jason says, it was hard to get a role because Paul played everybody. You basically had to be either younger than him or black. So we were both lucky in that respect.
Can I just say, how cool is Doc? What day is it on? Like, so cool. It's on tonight, Tuesday night.
It's tonight. There we go. Hey. Boom. Hey. Perfect.
Boom. Yeah, so that's
10 p.m., I think, BBC Two.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, so we did that, and then I've got a movie out in sort of end of summer called Legacy, which is like a party movie. It's basically like, I don't know if you've seen the movie Project X. They did this crazy party. It was an American movie.
Yes.
But it's sort of like a British version of that. And
there was a lot of pools in the trailer. I remember that. There's a lot of jumping into pools.
Yeah.
Oh, well, they're vital part of party movies, Doc. You need jumping in pools.
Yeah,
you
this need was, it. This is a sort of a British version.
The pool needs to be heated.
So, and you know, in Project X, I remember the trailer, they throw this sort of murk into the pool. Yeah, we couldn't afford to do that. But it's a lot of fun, though. I've seen the movie. It's really, really good. And I think the kids are going to love it. So
So obviously, you've been in so many different things. Is there any type of roles that you would like to do or like to take on that you haven't had the chance to just yet?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's all about characters and finding that, you know, like you mentioned Shifty, that was just an amazingly funny, well-written character that I could come in and just do something with. And so for me, it's all about characters, really. And I love comedy. Like, I love comedy, and I sort of love to be in stuff that, you know, you watch the news and it's quite depressing. So I think if I can be in entertainment that make people laugh and feel good, that's my big remit at the minute. Yeah. So at the minute, I'm just like, you know, the sort of the search and stuff that I'm looking to do is comedy based, and just because I want to make people smile, make them laugh. Yeah. So, yeah.
So how do you go about like studying the art of doing that? Like how do I mean I come from a musical background. Okay, just copy anything Doc's doing. Okay, yeah.
He doesn't even know where he is right now. Don't copy Doc.
Don't copy his tardiness either. Like, yeah, that's not a good start.
Oh man. You want a rapper on
You're
your
gonna pay for this. No, joking.
I think
we love you.
I think what was the question again?
No, because I come from a musical background, so I understand a lot of how you cultivate being a, you know, not that I'm calling myself a great musician, but how much it takes to get, you know, really established and, you know, good at your craft. So how, what is that process as an actor?
Well, I think it's like anything, you have to be aware that you need to constantly improve. So like I'm always like, you know, trying to be critical of the previous work, and you sort of want to take what you did and better it. So that's always, I think, setting yourself goals and making sure you know you've definitely not cracked it. So keeping that hunger, keeping that fire going. So I think that's probably, you know, the key thing that I take in. I just want to be better. I just want to get you know, just improve the craft.
But I mean, like, say if you're looking at a script, is it kind of like going, "Hey, Grandma, how are you? Hey, Grandma, but how are you?" Like, oh, I mean, how do you, like...
That was such
you
a range there.
She does concerned really, seriously, really yeah. well. Still doesn't still really well.
She's auditioning now.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, let me know if you need any black actresses. I know there's not many to choose from. Like, often people confuse me for Sophie Okanadu. She lives in my neighbourhood. People often like, "Are you an actress?" I'm like, "I'm not her."
Oh, really?
No, you know what? You should really go with it. It's that sign of autographs.
I get mistaken for Courtney Love. You're fucking lucky. Hey, now Jason, another reason we wanted to get you on the show is Doc pointed out that you're a rap fan as well. So we've got a couple of songs that you've picked out here. The first one is Forget About Dre.
Yes.
Dr. Dre featuring M. Why is this one of your favourite songs, and why did you choose to play it today?
Forgot About Dre.
Well, I love the tune. It's obviously a massive.
Sorry.
It's a classic. I'll tell you what's been funny. Recently, I've started going with a collective that go to karaoke, and you get your own little booth, and there's like 10 people. Mm. And last time I went with a load of lawyers and media people that are so far removed from the sort of rap genre. And, you know, they've got the classics, the Grease and the Elton John classics, but I like to slip in this, so I slipped in this, and just the enjoyment of watching them trying to get through
this
song.
Tongue twisters on this.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. So
infused with alcohol.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Cocktails. So not only is this an absolute tune, but it'll just warm me up just remembering that. So
here we go. I forgot about Dre, as chosen by Jason Mazza. And then you could stick around, mate. We want to grill you some more.
Boom.
Legend.
Jason, are we going to get to hear you rap over this as well?
Yes.
You got to keep up. You got to keep up the entire song, every verse.
You're on FUBAR, Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. We'll be back with Jason Mazza in the studio. Y'all know me, still the same OG, but I'm big. Sarah Hugh and Doc 2 right here on FUBAR. Forgot about Dre, as chosen by Jason Mazza, who's joining us in the studio right now.
Do you remember the first time you heard that tune? It blew my mind the first time I heard it.
Yeah, it's just, well, they're both geniuses really, but yeah, it's just a genius track. Genius.
Because it's aggressive, but it's funny.
Funny, witty, yeah, just.
See, I have a lot of props for Eminem, because I know some people can be critical of him.
Who?
But I think
name and shame. That's like, you cannot criticise Eminem.
Well,
I'm not having it.
At liberty to, because they might not appreciate it. But I just think he has managed to negotiate being an artist and the pop world in like the perfect way, because he's not lost any credibility. He still has all the rap credentials and respect that you have to have if you want to call yourself hip hop. And then, you know, he brought out that Rap God tune on his last album, which was like the first thing we heard from him for years, and it's like the whole tune is just him spitting relentlessly and bigging up like serious bona fide people like Pharrell Monch, who we spoke to the other week, like Rakim, you know. So it's more than just like him going me, and I just really respected that, because he could easily just do the same as everyone else and just be all about picking himself up.
I really respect you for just talking seamlessly there while the technician Ali was fixing your mic, which literally just fell out from the sky.
Sarah's ex Ali, let's not respect.
Yeah.
Must have been an awkward moment.
That was. Well. That's probably the closest they've been since that she decided not to go on a date with him.
We are never going to get past this, are we, Ali? Oh, he's scarpered. He doesn't even want to know me.
There's one thing that I don't want to flatter myself by saying that I see similarities in our careers, because I'm still starting out in this acting game. But the one thing I've noticed is you do, I don't mean you, I mean
one.
Actors tend to get typecast and whatnot, depending on their looks or their voice and whatnot. And you being like East London boy, beau and all of that, and the way you carried yourself in some of your more mainstream appearances, say Another Hood or even Shifty to some extent, which is way more successful than people might have expected it to be with that budget. Do you find or do you get irritated by the assumption that maybe... there's a working class character in here who's like he's off road, isn't it? Like blah blah blah. Get Jason Mazza.
Yeah, 100%.
Or that thing where they say think Jason Mazza.
Yeah, like
put it in the script.
It's like it's really really frustrating. That's tough. And I think coming from a sort of a working class background, it's even harder for me. The experience that I've had is just because it's so easy for them to box you and go boom. You know, you're that. And you're good at that, and you can keep doing that. And it's very hard for the, you know, to convince the industry that you can do something else. And you know, I love messing around with accents and stuff, and you know, but it's a real challenge to try and get that. I mean, there is, you know, there's pros and cons. The pros being that if they do want someone, you know, a bit cheeky, a bit of a lad, or a bit, you know, a bit with an urban edge, then if I'm going for that role and I'm meeting, then I'm either getting it or I'm like, I'm right.
It's a double-edged sword.
It's a double-edged sword. Yeah.
What's some of the accents? You were just saying you like doing accents. What's some of your favourite accents?
Give us your best Aussie accent.
You're right, mate. I like doing like a chopper
Reed. Because I have to say that.
Chopper Reed.
Because it's just amazing in that performance, and I quite like it.
Because I have Neville to say, mate, bastard. Your name is
goes
pretty
for
good
no
for
reason.
Aussies. Yeah.
No reason
David.
At all.
Yeah.
It's not even a question.
Mazza. Mazzog. Sorry, so Australian is one of your favourite accents today?
Yeah, it's terrible, but I just enjoy doing it.
What about West Indian?
Oh, you can call me a white dude to do that's not fair, man.
What do you mean?
No,
you mean?
I'm terrible at a West Indian accent. It's like, I'm not West Indian either, so there's you know, no real reason why I should be good at a West Indian accent if I'm stereotyping myself. But no.
Yeah, I wouldn't put that on top of the list.
But it's interesting, isn't it? Because Julie Walters recently, she came out and she was talking about how you know, there's not enough roles for working class actors, and even working class kids who want to be actors don't believe that they can because they don't believe that door is open to them.
Yeah.
Right. And what really fascinated me about that is she was talking about accents, and don't you think it's interesting? A middle class actor can be expected to do a working class character,
yeah,
but they'll never expect a working class actor to try and do a middle class. Like, don't worry about that. Just do it in your own voice. Yeah. Do it in your own voice. And you're like, hold on a minute. Yeah. I can be posh, you fuckers. I can do that.
Yeah.
You know, but it's the other way around. It's fine. Oh yeah, Olivia Colman. Yeah, she'll be great. Just get her to play a couple classes lower.
Yeah,
that's fine.
The research for the role would be getting the tube. that's me researching
like
the role.
We're actors, therefore, that's what we're trained to do. Pretend to be other people. You know?
Yeah.
And apart from Danny Dyer, most of us can do it. Do you know what I mean?
Like, tough life, isn't it?
He was tough actually, he was on Jonathan Ross saying like, it's a liberty, everybody's expected, like, this is what I do, like, I can't get any roles, like, I do the working class thing. I was like, well, bruv, like, do some acting, do you know what I mean? Like, pretend to be someone else.
Shots fired, No, seriously, so he was saying that he's vexed that he only gets that one avenue.
But that's all he ever does. Like, no,
but maybe because that's the only roles he's getting cast. Maybe he does
but he was
Shakespearean.
He was really funny. I thought he was really funny on it. Also, he did. He, you know, bless him. He was like, I want to do different stuff. And then they were sort of going through his audition for Game of Thrones. He was like, yeah, I'd kill you, and I'd kill you, and I'd take you. And he was like, you know, he was like, can we put a cockney in everything? That was what he was going for.
Yeah, fair play to him.
Jason, we've got another tune from you here as well, because we know it's five. Doc's going to get... You got a big gig tonight, don't you?
Yeah, well, it's a little one. Royal Albert Hall.
I haven't heard of it.
So casual.
It's just ahead of his...
Little spot, southwest London. Yeah. It's nothing
So you're going to get out of here now. Jason's going to hang around for a little bit. Sarah, we're going to stick around here till six. Now, Doc, this is the last time I'm going to see you for a month.
I know, man.
I'm going to be in Melbourne.
It's emotional.
We're going to call you at 3 a.m. and be like...
Wake up!
Are you taking a piss?
Just touch my hand. Just touch my hand.
Are you taking a piss?
Yeah, just touch. All right, Doc Brown, we're going to jump into the song now that Jason has chosen. Not just an actor, also a rap fan, which is why we're very stoked to get you on the show. This is by Stormzy, Know Me From, this one. So why have you chosen to play this song?
I just I just really love his energy. Like, he's come into this sort of industry. He's unsigned at the minute, and I think he's making really good strides. And if you've seen the video to this track, it's genius. It's really good. Because he's got his mum in it, so that's maximum points.
And
like, there's this crazy cut in the middle of the video. It's like all he done in one take, but there's this car that ruins the video, and what comes up on the screen in black is, yeah, some dickhead driver ruined this video, but they don't attempt to redo it, they just keep it in. So I just love that. He's just like, he's doing his thing, and I think when someone comes in, you know, in a creative industry with that energy and that vibrance, I'm all for him. He's great.
So amazing. All right, and we'll be back after this. Doc, we'll be away, as we just said. Coming up next as well, Sarah, she's been away the last couple of weeks on tour DJing. She's seen some pretty crazy shit out the front of some nightclubs. We're going to find out what that is up next. Sarah, you and Doc 2 on FUBAR. You're on FUBAR, Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. That's Stormzy there, Know Me From, the name of that one, as chosen by actor Jason Mazza, who's joining us in the studio right now. Doc Brown's gone. Good, we can talk about him behind his back. I fucking hate that dude.
How did you get into hip-hop or rap? Well, would you say you're a hip-hop fan, or is it just like the rapidy raps that you're a fan of?
No, I think I like, both do it for me. And to be honest, I've got like a real eclectic mix of music. I love, you know, I love all music. But yeah, I think probably growing up, you know, as a teenager, listening to Nelly and stuff.
East Coast or West Coast? What's your pick? What's your favourite?
Oh, God.
East Coast, West Coast.
East Coast. Yeah. really
like, who are your favourite people from East Coast, would you say? Well, just some, who are some of your favourite artists?
I mean, everyone loves the. If you look rappers, like I love Jay-Z. Obviously, he's a genius, and you know, obviously we mentioned Eminem. But yeah, I mean, just but like, you know, them old school, like the Ja Rule tunes back in the day as well. Do you remember? Mm-hmm. What's love? God, you know.
I feel sorry for Ja Rule.
Yeah, he's just vanished, isn't he? He's disappeared.
He's struggling, man. He's falling on hard times. And this is the thing about, like, celebrity, because, like, at those times when he was just, like, killing it, you just think, oh, my God, he's untouchable. He's just made now forever. Yeah. Like, some of these people are just rotting in jail. They've got, like, addiction problems or whatever. It ain't everything that kids think it is to be, like, a superstar rapper.
100%. I think, to be honest, like, it's just musicians and acting, it's the same thing. Like, it can look, from the outside, it can look amazing. And, you know, it can look like everyone's doing so well and they're going to these parties and they're... But actually, you know, they're tough, mm-hmm. tough industries.
Definitely.
So, you know...
Also with sports, too, I think. Like, there's friends that I know who have a lot of connections in, like, the NBA and stuff, and they know players who are, like, major players live in, like, check to check, you know? So it's, like, easy for us to think, God, they're on, like, $1 million a week! And it's, like these people are... struggling, hard times being on $1 million a week.
Tell you someone who's definitely not struggling, DJ Sarah Love. She gets paid to travel around the world doing gigs. She's missed the last two shows because she's been on tour. Now, we know you were saying before you've seen some pretty crazy shit out the front of nightclubs
over the last couple of weeks. Yeah, it's just part of the profession, isn't it, I guess. I mean, like, yeah, I think... any weekend, especially if you're in somewhere like Shoreditch, like, you know, you could just go there and just stand in the street and that's entertainment enough.
You'd probably
for the
be like,
whole
oh, look at that guy, what a piece of shit, and that'd probably be me. Yeah. In the gutter.
Like,
in
he
the
needs
gutter.
Help.
Chips?
Quick.
Chips? Got any chips? Yeah.
But no, I was DJing in Bristol last weekend, and it's a phenomenon that you see like all over the UK and like at places like Newcastle, and there's also a Newcastle in Australia where I've seen similar types of things. But obviously, like, I think a main cornerstone is the pavement pizza.
You know,
so it's like
this
regurgitated, like, kebabs just, like, scattered around the pavement. Yeah.
I love that you labelled Newcastle and Australia in the same... I've seen it in Australia and Newcastle because that's... No. And there's, like, the corner of the... Yeah.
But it's incredible, like, Newcastle, Australia, I'm assuming it was given that name from our Newcastle or from someone... British,
very
Newcastle.
Likely.
But how similar the nightlife experience is, it's quite remarkable.
And what we're saying is there's like an area where people congregate to be sick. That's like the pizza. Is that what was it? Yeah.
The pavement pizza, yeah. That's what widespread. But then the other one that's incredible, okay, it was freezing the other day in Bristol. I mean, it was probably like below zero or something. Girls out where they might as well have just gone out in their bikini. Like, just take it to the bikini, man. But I don't even understand how they're just, like, cool chilling like that, literally.
That just sounds terrible, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, it does.
No, you just... No clothes on and stuff. God, wrap up.
God, I just wanted to go out and have a few drinks with my mates. Even we're all single guys. We just wanted to go out and chill. We don't want to be so distracted by girls in bikinis.
We want to have to pay for the pleasure of seeing girls terrible. In bikinis. Not for God, free on the street.
It's so annoying.
I know.
Just wanted to talk about sport and hang out. Now it's stupid girls in their bikinis.
But no, another amazing thing was seeing like really ill people. Like, oh no, the one that trips me out is being in, again, Bristol. It's obviously a big student population, but they have like sniffer dogs on the door.
Yeah.
And then like paramedics stationed at the door, because obviously it's like everyone's just like,
how ghetto is this place? I've never seen a sniffer dog at a club. That's unbelievable.
No, seriously, though.
I thought Bristol was really sweet. Yeah. You're like, exactly. Where are you DJing?
Yeah, got sniffer dogs, mate. You know,
I'm not really promoting a good
fingerprints. Yeah, they'll take everything for you.
But then, like, seeing really ill people, like, getting back into the van to be taken home, and like, girl, it's just like, she needed to medical attention, but she's like, no, I'm determined to go to the party. Oh. And it's like, no, take your friend home. Oh. She needs to go home.
Yeah. I saw something amazing last week. Now, I don't condone violence. Any shape or form, because I'm against it,
okay.
And because mainly I'm a pussy, right? And I don't even get beaten up. So no, I don't fight. But last weekend, out the front of a club, I did see about five or six people, all in fancy dress, in a big brawl.
And I was like,
that is fucking amazing. I don't condone violence, but that is amazing. They're all like, one was dressed up as SpongeBob, and the other one was like Superwoman. Like, guys and girls were going hammer and tongue.
A real fight.
They were kicking the shit out of each other.
See, how did it kick off?
I wish there was video footage of that, because that would just be like Superman's beating up SpongeBob.
No, I know.
Who's going to win?
Oh, man, it was incredible. Like, it happened really, really fast. I think I just went out for a fag or something like that. And then all of a sudden, and then all of a sudden, caught in my peripheral, I just saw this thing, like, just pile onto the street. And I was like, what's going on? And I was literally, like, five or six people in fancy dresses kicking the shit out of each other. And I was standing there in shock. Going, it's one of the best things I've ever seen in my life. Should I go and help? No, just wait it out.
Just
want to see if Spider-Man's going to beat up Banana in pyjama, you know?
That must have thrown so many people walking past that and going, oh, what is that?
Am I watching a cartoon?
Yeah.
It's real? You know when you have like that ball of smoke in the cartoon with an arm sticking out and a leg sticking out in the fight? It's like the closest you get in real life to that, isn't it?
How about you, Jason? What's something crazy or weird you've seen at the front of a nightclub over the years?
At the front? See, I think, obviously, what's happening is I'm going to really nice places.
You're strictly VIP, aren't you?
Yeah.
You ain't
on
the front line like that. He's living the life.
I've definitely not seen those living though. So that's
yeah, his story's like, I saw honestly someone drinking a Stella. Couldn't believe it. Yeah. Oh, my God. Worst thing I'd seen in ages.
Someone did a shot.
No! And it was Jaeger.
Seriously, sniffer dogs. That was a new one to
me
as well.
Man.
Like, but also just to have the ambulance and paramedics there stationed ready for action. I was
that's just like
kids out there need guidance, man.
That's like, we've been here too many times. We know it's going to happen. We're just waiting. We're just ready.
Yeah, we're ready for action.
It's almost like a festival. They're ready.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's kind of right.
No, you're strictly VIP.
What would you guys say if I said that I just realised yesterday that I've got something quite similar in common with Gary Barlow?
I'd be concerned.
Would you be concerned?
No. I'd be really interested and fascinated what that is.
No, I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay, well, if you are concerned or interested, either or, I'll share it with you up next. So I would like to know, maybe it is a little bit concerning. Actually, yeah, it is quite concerning. Now that I think about it. I'll share it with you up next. I'm FUBAR, it's Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. Doc Brown has left us for some shitty gig at the Royal Albert Hall or something. Whatever. Get into it right after the Roots. You're on FUBAR, Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. Doc Brown's just ducked out, so Sarah and Hugh here with you. And we also
Nazza too, mate.
Lucky enough to be joined by actor, entrepreneur, man of mystery, Jason Mazza.
Yeah, it's like you've downgraded slightly from Doc, but it's all right.
Now, very, very interesting as well. We were just talking during this song about how you also have a production company as well, and you're making some films. You guys are doing the new Al Murray, landlord.
Yeah, we're just setting that up for the summer. But yeah, it's really, really cool. It's really funny. And I mean, everyone loves Al Murray, the pub landlord. He's such a butt. I watched his show, actually. We went and checked him out the other week, and he's so good. And it's just such a love character that I think it's time that the fans sort of get to enjoy him in a movie. And it's really funny. And he actually, it's maybe not what everyone's going to expect. This, you know, he goes on this sort of crazy adventure, and yeah, it's still early days, but hopefully we're going to be shooting in the summer. But it's going to be awesome.
You go, sir.
No, I was just going to say, because I think low key he's got pretty massive following, really, isn't it?
Yeah, like it was he's still, like, I mean, considering he's not really been on the TV too much over the last sort of year or so, but he's still selling out venues, selling out. It's crazy.
It must be up there as one of the most longest popular running shows, because most people would run a show for a year. Yeah. Generally, do all the festivals, run it for a year, but that's just been going and going and going and going.
He's been, like, I think he's
amazing.
15, 20 years in.
Yeah.
But he's brilliant, and just everyone loves him. So I can't wait to sort of turn it into a movie. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Any rough ideas when that might be out?
Well, if we're gonna shoot in the summer, I imagine it'd be out sort of summer next year.
Brilliant.
So it's gonna be awesome.
Before the roots, we were just talking about Sarah's been on tour, and we're talking about the crazy stuff she's seen at the front of nightclubs. We actually just got an email through.
Just standard things you see outside nightclubs. Yeah, it's like you just become completely desensitized.
Definitely. We had an email come through. You can hit us up anytime. TuesdayDrive@foobarradio.com. This is from Celia in Kingston. She says she saw a girl at the weekend outside a nightclub, and she was sitting on the steps, singing repeatedly and loudly, "I don't want to be this fucked. I don't want to be this fucked." Then she vomited on her mate's shoes, and then again, really loudly, said, "Let's go and get some shots. Let's get some shots."
Just complete turnaround there. Yeah.
Sounds like a great song. Apparently, the bouncer, he had some other ideas. Yeah. Thanks for the email, Celia. That's good.
Amazing.
Now, yes, I realised yesterday when I was reading the paper, very high cultured, highbrow paper. Metro. Me and Gary Barlow, we've got something quite in common. Gary Barlow, of course, from Take That.
Now,
Their angle, their article, sorry, was saying that because he's involved in a musical, Calendar Girls. And everyone was like, whoa. Mm. Wow. That's all right. Wow. Okay. Sure.
It's taking it next level.
Next level. And he was saying, look, hold on. The only reason I'm doing this, right, before you make any judgments about me, is because I wanted to try to see some girls, you know, a bit nude backstage and stuff like that.
He just needs to visit the clubs that I'm DJing at in Bristol, and, you know, it's a much less effort than putting on a whole West End show.
Well, that's what he was like, whoa, hang on, before you judge me for being in such a girly thing, like, you know, there's a reason behind it. I wanted to, and I was like, I saw that, and I was like, yeah, I've done that. Actually, yeah, I've done that before.
Well out of your way.
When I was really, really young, I started playing netball.
Oh.
Yeah, right. I started playing netball, and everyone's like, "What? You're like the only boy playing netball."
That's quite
and
out like, there for Australia.
It's
too.
Very out there, you know. So, and especially for a heterosexual guy to play netball, everyone was like, "Well, you want to tell us something?" Da da da. Do you know how many girls I picked up playing netball?
Yeah.
I did it. Purely because I was like thinking, right, my theory was, is that like there's so many of the hot girls at school were playing netball, and then they were saying, oh, there's going to be a mixed netball team now, mixed netball. And I'm like, shit, this could be a really good in.
You're like, I've got
this could be
idea.
Really good in. As long as you don't go into the friend zone. As long as you're like, yeah, look, hey, I want to be here, friends, babes. I'm here to play this really seriously. All right. And I was good at basketball, so I was real good at netball too, because I was good at basketball. Real good. And I was like, I understand where you're coming from, Gary Barlow.
Yeah.
I really understand where you're coming from.
I guess my route was the kind of opposite. Get it, becoming a hip-hop DJ.
Yeah.
Meant that, 99% of the time it's just dudes.
How does that go for you? How often do you get laid while you're DJing, Sarah? Don't have to answer that.
Listen, I'm strictly professional.
And she would never get laid while she's DJing. You know, not at the same time. You can't do that. That'd be awkward.
Oh, what a shame, though. You can't do crossfaded dick tricks. Oh, what a shame. Can you?
You're on the verge of getting fired. You're on the verge of getting fired.
Or slapped. Backhand slapped by Sarah.
Yeah.
Hey, Jason, you were just saying you've got to duck out of here now. But, mate, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's been a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Look forward to seeing all the future projects.
And
tonight, Nurse, BBC Two, 10 PM. See, there's a massive plug there.
Bang. Yes. Is there anything else you want to plug while you're here?
No, that's all for now. But
check it out. That's tonight. What was it on?
BBC Two.
Bang. 10 PM. Legend, Jason Mazza. Coming up next, we've got Are You Taking the Piss? You're on FUBAR. Sarah Hugh and Doc Two.
Cause nobody can do it. Make my day.
Beastie Boys, three MCs and one DJ. You're on FUBAR. It's Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. Doc Brown is just ducked out of the studio, but Sarah and I'll be in here holding it down for the next half an hour, and it's time for...
Are you taking the piss?
This is your chance to vent.
Yes, we all need that opportunity to vent, because, you know, all that pent-up frustration and, you know... Anger. Is it anger?
Yeah.
Or just vexation is not a good thing. Like, you need to release the beast.
Oh, so that's just what happened here.
A positive place. Yeah, so basically, I need to say to you, like, you taking the piss, mate, asking me them kind of questions on air
I know.
No, but in this last week, I'm a big fan of astronomy.
Wait. First things first. For people that just tuned in, right, I was getting a bit cheeky to Sarah about her DJing, and we were talking about, you know, doing a job in the opposite sex's realm to try to pick up, and you made a joke about saying, yeah, that's why I started DJing.
No, I did not say that. You took it down that road.
I
ended up in the complete opposite position of you actually having a strategy of starting netball to get girls. No, my motivation of becoming a hip-hop DJ was not to get guys. I didn't have any troubles in that department.
No.
You know, so I spent a lot of years to be taken seriously in my work.
I apologize,
I didn't need
darling.
To take the cheap route
like
you did with your netball career.
Absolutely.
No.
But
I really don't care, darling.
You know I love you, and I got nothing but the highest opinion of you.
And
you know
I love
that.
You too.
But I was being a bit cheeky, and was that Hugh?
Nat, the producer, came in to shut down Hugh.
I got slammed.
Nat came
bad.
To my defense. Oh, wow. Bless you, Nat.
I deserved it. All right, Sarah, so what's going on this week, and are you taking the piss? It's a good opportunity, as we said, to vent something or someone that's been taking a piss.
And we definitely want to hear from you guys as well. 0330-223-0200. Hit us up. If there's something that happened for you this week that made you say to yourself, are you taking a piss? Like, are you for real? Seriously, for real, for real? Exactly. Something made you feel that inside. We want to hear from you, okay? But, you know, I'm a big fan of astronomy, which is a bit sad in many ways.
Why?
But
that's not sad.
I never ceases. I just am literally in love. I don't, but I am investing in one.
Christmas isn't far. You never know. You might find one under your tree.
Seriously. I would be so overjoyed with that, honestly. How sad am I? But, and of course, this last week we had like one of Mother Nature's most spectacular, you know, the events to happen. We had the solar eclipse.
Of course.
Like, was so exciting to me. Like, I was just so happy about it. And I just thought it was really hilarious how the whole time the eclipse was happening in the morning, on Friday morning, it was just solid cloud over most of the country. And then as soon as like the eclipse finished, it just turned into the most glorious blue skied, like clear day ever. And I was just like, seriously, eclipse, are you taking the piss?
Are you taking the piss?
Like, definitely. That was just a total liberty. Like, how are you going to hype us up like that? You know, and then just... put cloud everywhere. You're taking the piss.
But a lot of people didn't. I completely missed the whole thing. Like, I just kind of woke up and then
recovering from Jaeger shots.
Probably. You know, us girls were crazy. But yeah, I read up and like read in the paper, and I was like, oh damn. But it seemed like there was a lot of people just seeing photos. A lot of people were out, like, you know, with their little pinhole things and their glasses, and they're all watching. But then there was like so overcast, no one could really see shit anyway.
I know, it was hilarious. And now you got to wait till like 2026 to experience that again in the UK.
I got another. Are you taking the piss off that? Because I read in the same paper that a school, I can't exactly remember where they're from, but they're in a lot of trouble because they had made all the kids make little pinhole things so you can look at the eclipse through that little paper thingy whatever's. Massive thing, made them do all this stuff, and then they get to school and then the principal goes, no one's allowed to watch it outside for religious reasons. And all the parents were like, what religious reason? They're like, we can't say.
It's our own religion.
And they're like, what? What? And now the school's getting, like, you know, formally investigated because they're like...
because all the parents are like, are you taking the piss?
Are you taking the piss?
Are you taking the piss? Are you taking the piss? That's weird, right?
That is a bit suspect. I think something else is going on which the headmaster was trying to, like, cover up or something there.
Yeah.
And I think another thing that made me feel this week, like, are you taking the piss? This morning, 5:30 a.m., my cat waking me up with like relentless meowing for like 15 minutes straight. After like a couple of minutes, I'm like, okay, I'm sure he'll get bored in a minute. It's like, are you taking the piss, Sprinkles?
Are you taking the piss?
Sprinkles?
No, it's not called Sprinkles.
Sprinkles? You get Sprinkles.
No, but you know how people have these funny net, like when you look at a cat and you go, I'm going to call him Sprinkles.
I don't think I've ever had that happen to me before.
I've heard of people with cat called
Oh, your
sprinkles.
World. The world that you live in, Sarah Lund.
The DJ world. So what made you say, are you, I'm sorry, my cat, like, what the hell? Mm. Are you taking the piss? It's 5:30 a.m. But what made you guys say this week, are you taking the piss? Hit us up on the email, tuesdaydrive@foobarradio.com. You can tweet us as well on Twitter at foobarradio and call us 0330-223-0200.
And actually, we've already got a couple of emails getting coming through now, so we'll get into those up next. Are you taking the piss on Foobar Radio? Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. Kalash.
Bit of a UK classic there.
Absolutely. You're on FUBAR, Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. Doc is ducked out of the studio.
That's is he Sarah taking Hugh. The piss or what?
Is Doc Brown taking the piss? That's what we're doing right now. It is time for our weekly segment. Are you taking the piss?
Are you taking the piss?
It's a chance to vent. Someone's done something that's annoyed you.
You need to use this platform to get your voice heard.
So Doc Brown, do you know what? Because you've been away the last 2 weeks, Sarah.
I know.
The whole last 2 weeks, Doc's been like, oh, when are we going to be all three of us back together? He knows very well that I'm away as of after the show. I'm away now for the next 3 or 4 Tuesdays. I'll be back in Melbourne. And then what does he do? He's
bounces
like, yesterday, he's like, sorry, I've got to leave at 5. Doc Brown.
Are you taking the piss?
I've got one, Sarah. This is about you, actually. Yeah. Now, kind of not your fault.
But I'm still gone.
But just before, I asked you, could I have a sip of your water? And you're like, yeah, you can have a sip of my water. To which I tasted like a shitty old beer, stale beer cup. And I was like, what the fuck is this? And you go, yeah, I know, I didn't want it. I didn't want it either.
Are you taking the piss?
Are you taking the piss, Sarah Love? What are you doing to me?
That was a bit of a limit.
That's
but
so
hey,
good.
Man, it was came from a place of love. Because I just thought, you know, you're in a desperate position.
It's desperate.
Beggars can't be choosers, can they?
It's almost funny when you got something
so
like,
deal with it.
Like if you hate some food that you think is disgusting or whatever, and someone's like, can I have a bite? And you're like, sure. My friend that did this to me last night, he had some weird little chocolate thing, or my friend James, he had some weird little chocolate thing, and he's like, here, man, have this. And I looked at it, and I was like, and he kind of, and then I saw it, and he took the other half of it and was like, slowly putting it to his mouth, like trying to get me to eat it first. And I was like, I don't think I'm going to eat it. And he went, yeah, it was terrible. I just wanted to see if you'd eat it.
Are you taking the piss?
James, are you taking the piss?
Fully.
That ain't right.
Fully, mate.
God.
That's proper Aussie language, isn't
you're
it?
You're getting more and more.
I am bilingual with Aussie.
Are you?
Yeah.
Really? You actually are really good. And Kiwi, too.
And Kiwi. I'm trilingual.
Whoa.
Multilingual, I think maybe we call that.
Hey, I've got another one as well. Next door neighbor's dog. Doesn't ever stop barking. And because I do a lot of work from home as well, I'm just like, man, it's driving me insane. That little dog.
Are you taking the piss?
I don't know what to do. You can't really go over and say, sorry, could you kill your dog?
I know. Yeah, can we just sedate him?
Something.
Just temporarily while I'm at home.
What do I do?
I know. I wonder what you can actually do about that. Because it's not like you could complain to the council.
No.
Is it? Well, I wouldn't even condone going down that route. Like, no. Come on. That's just silliness.
But when I go outside and they're, you know, the next door neighbours are outside with the dog and the dog runs up to me, so friendly and happy,
and
little dog.
And they're like,
oh, you guys. And they said something the other day, oh, you should take him for a run. When you go through your runs, you should take the dog.
Are you taking the piss?
I don't want to go anywhere near your fucking dog. I hate your dog.
You know what, though, Hugh? You've got to look at the glass half full, but not the stinky glass.
Not the stinky beer glass.
Both of us were just like, no, but, you know, that's quite incredible in London where your neighbour is interacting with you.
Really?
Yeah.
I smiled at someone on the tube the other day, Sarah, and they smiled back.
I told you. See, I'm championing this.
You are good.
I am championing this. Saying hello to the bus driver, saying thank you to the bus driver.
I always
smiling at people, making eye contact.
Yep.
You know, be the change you want to see in the world.
I always
complain about it.
Or complain.
Yeah. Are you taking the piss?
We've been asking you guys as well to get in touch either on the email, tuesdaydrive@foobarradio.com, or you can tweet us or hit us up on the Facebook, which is both at Foobar Radio.
I want to hear the Foobar listeners vent. I want to know what's been troubling you.
Here we go, Sarah. We can jump straight into it. Sasha from Andover. She has emailed us and said, I just chipped my bloody nail polish. Is my nail polish taking the piss?
Are you taking the piss?
Yes, it is.
I feel your pain. All people who wear, I was going to say all women, but all people who wear nail varnish out there, we can relate. We know how annoying that is. You spend time, it's painstaking, making it look pretty, and then it just chips.
One word for you, ladies, shellac.
I was about to say, does you know about shellac?
How do I know that?
About shellac?
Because I played netball when I was a kid, all right? That's how I know about shellac.
It's not about your evening activities or anything.
All right, who else? Adam from Stratford, he has emailed in saying, I just missed my train home by seconds.
Oh.
Are you taking the piss?
Are you taking the piss?
Oh, I hate that, man.
That is annoying. Especially if it's a long wait to the next train. Because it does make me laugh in London how it's like 1 minute between trains and people are like, oh, God, yeah. I didn't get on that train. And then people come from other places. They're like, this is nothing to wait 2 minutes for a train.
Oh, so
but
annoying.
When it's like that 20 minute, half hour wait, you're probably like, that's just taking the piss.
It is taking the piss. And I was getting the tube on the weekend and there was a lady in front of me because I knew I had to run down the escalator to just make this train that I
needed.
You had
to risk life and live.
It really is dangerous. I was going to do that. I'm a wild man, all right? So I get down to halfway down the escalator and there's a lady there with a pram and a little buggy with her baby. I couldn't get past her. Missed my train. I was like, oh, lady!
Are you taking the piss?
Selfishly had kids and now you're making me late. It's not right at all.
It's not right. Who's she to use public transport?
I know. Right?
Liberty.
God. Taking kids out in public?
Are you taking the piss?
Are you taking the piss? Lewis from Reading, he has tweeted us and said, my alarm went off this morning and I had to get out of bed.
Are you taking the piss?
Not happy about having to get out of bed.
Lewis. I think the whole nation is supporting you in that one.
Absolutely. What time do you set your alarm for generally in the morning?
Me, myself?
Yeah.
Oh, see, this is the problem with being a medical journalist and a DJ.
Mm.
I mean, the other night I didn't get to bed until 6 a.m., so really I had earned my sleep after waking up at 5 a.m. every morning, the days leading up to that. It changes from week to week. It's constantly changing, which is whack.
I'm going to say that you probably went to bed at 6 a.m. because of a medical conference?
No.
Really?
Oh. No, I was waking up at 5 a.m.
Oh.
Yeah. All week.
Oh, yeah, that's really
And then
cool.
going to bed at 6 a.m. after seeing loads of pavement pizza. And, yeah.
Waking up when it's dark.
Are you taking the piss?
No.
Not a fan. Mm-mm. Not a fan at all. Sophia from Gasport. Gosport.
Oh, Gosport. Gasport.
Thank you. Thank you, producer Nat. Who
it's just his accent.
Godlike figure in my headphones. Yeah. She's very, very good. Sophia has emailed in saying that I got to write a 10,000-word dissertation by the beginning of May. I've got to write, sorry. And I've only done 2,000 words. This dissertation is...
Are you taking the piss?
Taking the piss.
See, I was wondering if she was going to say about herself. Am I taking the piss or what? That I've not even... I've only done like this much and the deadline is weeks away. That's kind of pushing it a bit.
The fact that... Why did I commit to doing 10,000 words?
Who thought this was a good idea?
Who thought this was a good idea?
Is anyone even going to read this? No, you're doing great things. Stick with it. Stay in school. It's great.
Oh, Sarah, love, look at her.
Turn it around. I don't want to be discouraging her. It's wonderful doing a dissertation.
For the kids.
Yeah.
Good on you, Sarah. What did you study?
I did music at university.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Wow. Bet your parents were stoked.
They were.
I'm just giving you a hard time. No, of course. So what, how do you mean? How do you study music? Like, what do you mean? You went to like a music college?
Well, I went to music college. Then I did a degree that was called popular music and recording.
Wow.
And then I went straight into my DJ career. So I didn't really... I just went to uni because I was interested in what they're going to teach me rather than I wanted a qualification to open any doors for me sort of thing.
Did you learn?
I think if you're enjoying what you're studying, it makes it much easier, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Like my ex-fiance, she did a double degree in aerospace engineering.
That's dope.
And I was like, wow. Like, so you could technically build a rocket. She's like, yeah, I could. We actually built rockets on the course.
That's sick.
And I was like, why did you want to get into that? And she's like, because I hated law school. And I was like, what do you mean? And she's like, my parents said they wanted me to go to be a law school or a doctor. And the compromise was that I'll do aerospace engineering.
Oh, gosh. So the parents decided.
And I was like, what?
That's
this
incredible.
Doesn't make sense. She's like, yeah, I didn't really like
think it through.
any three of them. Either of the three. I didn't really.
No interest or concern about any of those. Wow.
She's like, I just did it because.
Deep. I don't think that's the right way to approach a degree, is it? You're just making it, you know, an even more of an uphill struggle.
Double degree as well.
I'm actually thinking of doing a physics degree.
A double degree?
Maybe not a double degree.
Oh, any smart person.
Are you taking the piss?
Oh, any smart person at all makes me feel bad about myself.
They make me sick.
I got got a year 9 pass. You can probably tell when I pronounce a lot of things. I'll try to talk. Try to talk about three and go, either of them. Either of them three things.
That you think.
That you think.
Yeah, I'll go along with.
We've got another email through from Tracy in Forest Gate for Are You Taking the Piss? And this one is, I thought the man I've had a crush on for ages was going to break up with his girlfriend, but he's just told us all in the office that he proposed to her and she said yes.
No!
Oh! Are you taking the piss?
Are you taking
What's
the piss?
What's her name?
That's Tracy.
Tracy.
You got some advice? I got some advice.
They don't call me Sarah Love for nothing.
Oh, here we go.
All of a sudden. No, Tracy, there's plenty more fish in the sea. Just be happy for him and his future and wish them the best.
What?
Walking off together into the sunset. But your destiny is out there waiting for you. There's a man out there right now. He's dreaming of you. You are his dream woman. And he's just waiting. He's just waiting to meet you.
That was beautiful.
She's shedding a single tear. It's true, though. Honestly,
really
there is
nice.
A man where you are his dream woman.
That was really nice, Sarah.
He's just waiting for you.
Oh, my God. Really
Forget him.
That.
Just be happy for him. But just keep it moving. Don't That's waste your nice. Energy thinking about him and his happiness.
I was going to play this again.
Are you taking the piss?
But I don't want to spoil the moment.
No.
So I definitely
was
won't
not
play
taking
it.
The piss when I was saying that.
That was really nice. Hey, Sarah, it's just about time for your live mix.
Oh, yeah. Almost forgot about that.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, you're a professional DJ by trade, but just because you're on a radio, you got your own radio show, doesn't mean you can be able to get out of work.
Yeah.
You're still got to work on this show.
Earn them wages.
Yeah. Do you know what you're going to be playing for us today? Do you know? Or are you just going
to
make it up?
Oh, yeah. No, I want to play you something from... So keeping with that love theme, I'm going to play you something from the new D'Angelo album, because I just think it's all about, like, earlier I was talking about, for me, there's a difference between artists and acts. And I think championing these people who are putting, you know, working hard to put out good music. So I want to play you something fresh from D'Angelo. I want to play you something fresh from Kendrick Lamar. He just dropped an album just days ago, which is making waves. Some interesting new music from artists.
Amazing. All right, we're going to get Sarah Love doing a live mix in the studio up next, right after Lady of Rage, Afro Puff. You're on FUBAR, Sarah, Hugh, and Doc 2. You're on FUBAR, Sarah, Hugh, and Doc 2. Doc Brown has ducked out, unfortunately. But what have we got? 10 minutes of the show left. It's all right. We don't need him, do we, Sarah Love? Because you're about to do your love mix in the studio. Whenever you are ready, lady. Whenever you are ready. Lucky enough to have Sarah Love doing a live mix for the last 10 minutes of the show. Here we go, she's going to take it away. Sarah Love, killing it as always. Wow.
I think the tunage was pretty on point. I do love that Bilal tune. I played you that last song now playing. It's D'Angelo off his album Black Messiah. Before that, you had something fresh from Bilal, one of the illest soul artists out at the moment, and opened it up with something from the brand new Kendrick Lamar album. Pick those up if you're looking for good, credible music.
Also, just got to do a little quick disclaimer as well, that there is some, every now and then, it can be a little bit challenging to work with what you've got to work with.
But
here
what
in the
do
studio.
They say? Bad workman.
You can't tell.
Always blames his tools.
Yeah, sensible tradesman. Always blames his tools. All right, time for us to get out of here. Next week, I'll be away for the next few weeks. I'll be in Australia, but Sarah and Doc will be here holding it down. Have a fantastic week until then. And thank you so much for joining us, Sarah, Hugh, and Doc 2, right here on FUBAR.
Peace.